Nå skal vi gå over I den delen av programmet som I all hovedsak kommer til å foregå på engelsk. Jeg håper at det ikke vil medføre så mye trøbbel for dere I salen, men vi går altså tilbake til norsk litt etter hvert. For å få til en omlegging til fornybarsamfunnet, så må leiting etter og produksjon av fossilt brennstoff reduseres. Måten vi lever og arbeider på vil endre seg I denne omleggingen, og internasjonalt så finnes det mange stemmer som taler for nettopp en sånn grønn omstilling og opprettelsen av nye klimaarbeidsplasser. Vi ønsker velkommen Jonathan Neal, forfatter av Stop Global Warming, Change the World og initiativtaker til 1 Million Climate Jobs. Welcome Jonathan, the floor is yours.
I am going to talk about climate jobs. The idea, oh, first, I am sorry I'm speaking in English, the language of the empire. Sometimes when I get very excited, I speak too fast. So if I'm speaking too fast and it is difficult to understand, wave your hands and I will slow down like this. Behind climate jobs is one idea. We face the biggest problem, the biggest challenge that the human species has ever faced in climate change. Also, we have in most of the world now economic crisis and mass unemployment. The idea is simple. Climate change did not just happen. Climate change happened because of the work of millions and millions of men and women with our hands and our muscles and our brains working together. This is why we have climate change. To stop climate change will also be the work of millions of men and women with our hands and our muscles and our brains together. And if we do that, we do not need to say to everybody in the world, climate change is terrible, you must sacrifice, you must give up. We can say to working people all over the world with no jobs, climate change is terrible, so you can have a job and your children can eat. In Britain, we have a campaign for 1 million climate jobs. It is supported by 7 trade unions, big trade unions and small trade unions. We have produced a report that has sold 15,000 copies, and we have got the idea of climate jobs around. Our report says there is a great deal of detail, a lot of science, a lot of engineering, but very simply what our report says is 1 million workers for 20 years can cut carbon dioxide emissions in Britain by 80%. And then we do the details of the mathematics of how that would work. When we say climate jobs, we do not mean green jobs. Green jobs can mean anything. Green jobs can mean working in the water supply, working in the national parks. Green jobs can mean many good things, but those are not climate jobs. By climate jobs, we mean only the jobs which work to cut carbon dioxide and methane and nitrous oxide, but mainly carbon dioxide emissions. We do not mean jobs with sustainable in the job title, and we do not mean an old job that has been renamed. We mean new jobs. We mean in Britain 1 million new jobs. These are permanent jobs. There will be work after the 20 years. These are jobs that people can do for life. And also, these will be government jobs. Why government jobs? One very simple reason. In a new low-carbon economy, some people will lose their jobs. To use the example of Norway, they're in a low-carbon economy, what about the oil workers? We have to say to every oil worker in Norway, in the new green economy, you will have a job. with the same money and the same skills and a permanent job for life. If we do not say that, we will never win. We will divide the trade unions and divide the workers, and we will not win. To say that, it has to be a government job, because if you say to somebody, some private company will give you a job after retraining, everyone knows that's a lie. It won't work. So that's why we say it's a government job. And even for some environmentalists who do not like government jobs, you have to accept it for this one. We have to do it that way. To be specific about what this means in our report in Britain, globally, carbon dioxide emissions come from three main sources. It's the burning of coal, of oil, and of gas. And globally, about one-third of that is in transport. About one-third of that is in heating, homes and buildings, and about one-third of that is in electricity. Now, in Britain, it is about those proportions. So what we say is, first of all, we need 200,000 jobs for 20 years fixing the buildings, fixing all the buildings so they use much less energy. We need 300,000 jobs in collective public transport to get people out of the cars and into the buses and the trains. We need 200,000 jobs in electricity, in renewable electricity, mainly offshore wind in Britain and mainly offshore wind in Norway for geographical reasons. 200,000 jobs to change all the electricity we have now to renewable electricity, and 200,000 more jobs to make enough electricity for all the homes and all the transportation. And if we do that, actually we can cut emissions by 90%. And 100,000 other jobs, some in industry, mainly in education and training. Okay, 1 million jobs is a lot. How do we pay for it? That's what everybody says. How do we pay for it? There are three answers to how we pay for it. First of all, when a man or a woman does not have a job and then they get a job, they start paying taxes to the government and the government stops paying benefits to them. So if it is a government job, the government saves a lot of money every time they give someone a job. The second answer is we are making electricity and people will pay for that electricity. We are running buses and people will pay for the bus tickets. So the money comes back there. But the third answer is we will need more money than that. And where does that money come from? That money comes from government stimulus, from the government spending extra money to stimulate the economy, to get the economy moving again. To be very specific about where that money comes from, it comes from what the governments do for the banks. They tell us that we have to have austerity. Austerity does not work. If the political leaders of Europe want austerity, they can go live in Greece without a job, and they can see what austerity is. Austerity does not work. But what we have seen since 2008, and we have seen it in every part of the world, is that when the banks are in trouble, the government finds the money for the banks. In New York, they can find $500 billion on a Tuesday morning by 12 o'clock lunchtime if the banks need $500 billion. And what we have to, our job in climate jobs, in the climate jobs movement, we have one key job. And our job is to teach the politicians to love Mother Earth as much as they love the banks. And if they cannot learn that, we will replace them. That's where the money comes from. But does that mean, does a stimulus to the economy mean that the whole economy falls apart, that we have worse economic crisis? No. Look at the example of World War II. In World War II, every major power changed their whole economy so that they could make as many weapons as possible, as quickly as possible, to kill as many people as possible to win the war. After the Second World War, Did that mean that there was economic crisis all over the world? No. It meant the end of the Great Depression. It meant that people had jobs. That is what we want to do this time for the climate, but not to kill as many people as possible. We want to do it to save as many lives as possible. I have two last points about how we do this, what we can do, because these are good. In Britain, we have a good plan, and we have persuaded much of the trade union movement of the plan. We have persuaded most of the environmental movement. We have persuaded much more widely, but there is a jump from persuading people this is good to winning it. That is difficult. It is difficult because we face long odds. In trying to do something about climate change, we are against the powers of the world. If you look at the 10 largest corporations in the world, 3 of them are automobile corporations, 6 of them are oil companies, and the largest of all of them is Walmart. This is enormous power. Many people in the room, I'm sure, were at Copenhagen in 2009. There we saw the leaders of every country in the world except Bolivia, of every country in the world, line up behind the oil companies and the coal companies and the gas companies. We face enormous power. That means what we want to do is difficult. And probably we will fail. Probably, we must be honest about this. Probably, maybe in my lifetime, but in the lifetime of most people in this room, we will see runaway climate change. With that, we will see famines and storms and floods and droughts and hundreds of millions of refugees and hundreds of millions dead. Probably. Probably we will lose. But maybe we will win. I want to concentrate on the maybe next. I want to talk about two things. The first is Paris. The second is Norway. In Paris, in December 2015, the leaders of the world are meeting for the climate talks, the UN climate talks, as they did in Copenhagen in 2009. In 2015, they are making the global agreement that will last till 2035, that will last for 20 years. This about what to do about climate change. There is no doubt that what they will do is make an agreement that carbon dioxide emissions will rise, and rise quickly. There is no doubt that their agreement will be that we will have 4 degrees of climate change. But that means we have to do something in Paris in 2015. We are not strong enough yet to change the governments of the world, but we have to do something that says the world does not accept this. We will fight on. Because if we don't do something big, it will be like Copenhagen in 2009, when everybody hoped that the leaders of the world would do something, and our movement walked away, feeling hopeless. So we must do something big. 3 weeks ago, I was at a meeting in Paris, the first planning meeting of the French environmental organizations, the French development organizations, the NGOs, the unions, the faith groups, their first meeting about what to do in Paris. What we talked about was that on one day, a working day during the talks, of course we will have a massive demonstration, as we had a massive demonstration in Copenhagen. Of course we will have direct action. But more than that, on one working day, we will do what they do in India and Bangladesh when they have a big protest. They close the city. That means we occupy the universities, we occupy the schools, the workers come out from work, the union workers, but also the other workers, and we close the streets, and we close the buses and the trains and the cars, and we have parties in the streets. This is what we said. What we said in Paris is, if we can do this, it will say to the world and to the leaders of the world, Paris does not accept this and the world does not accept this. Now, we also said, this is a very big thing to do. So the unions, the big NGOs are not going, they were in the room, but they are not going to say immediately, yes, my organization will do this. It is so big, it sounds difficult, dangerous. But what we are going to do in France first is to start in the universities and the lycées, the high schools, organizing there so that 6 months before the climate talks, everyone in Paris knows that the universities will be occupied and come out on the street and ask everyone to join. And from there, we can move to the unions. What I want you to do is be part of this conversation globally about what we do in Paris. We'll have conferences about and so on. I want you to send, 5,000 people from Norway to Paris, many of them on bicycles, to be part of that. And I want you to think what you can do also in Norway. But the more important thing is what you do with climate jobs in Norway. Because with the climate jobs movement, it is spreading. We have it in Britain now, in South Africa. They are going to have something like this in France by next year. 5 minutes to go. They're going to have something like this in France by next year. They are talking about it in Canada and so on. We need to have this movement in many countries because the odds against us winning in one country are very long. But if we have it in many countries, then we have a much better chance. Because we only have to win in one big country for everyone to notice, for the whole world to know. Now, Norway is not a big country. Norway is a small country, a long way from power. But there is one important thing about Norway that is known all over the world. And this is that you are the only oil power in the world without the oil curse. The only power in the world where the oil money is controlled for the good of the people. This is not an accident. This is because your grandparents and your great-grandparents fought for social democracy. It's because you have social democracy in Norway. I know they're trying to take it away. I know all that. But it is because you have social democracy in Norway that you can control the oil that way. The speaker before who was talking about movements from below, that is what we need, what your grandparents and great-grandparents did for social democracy. We need it again for Mother Earth. So everyone knows that. Not everyone, but many people in the world know that. And that means that if you can win a massive climate jobs program in Norway, and if Norwegian oil workers become Norwegian renewable wind workers, and you are one of the three or four richest countries in the world, and you change that for the good of the world, everyone in the world will know that. Everyone in the world will see that. And everyone will be inspired by that. And I do not know if you can do it. But I have been a climate activist. I have experience. I have been a climate activist for 10 years. I have been a trade union activist for 44 years. With a lot of time and a lot of experience, you can smell things. You can see when things are changing. I have been watching the faces of the people in this room all day. What I see on your faces, I think maybe, not certainly, not even probably, but maybe you can do it in Norway. And if you can do it in Norway, you will change Norway, but you will change the history of the world. Talk.